Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? Them some thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to our show, guys. It's hour two. Gals, too. Thank you. Thank you for being here. It's Ropp and Souk.
And David Lee Roth, apparently.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, God!
Because sports. Because, well, sports.
Hmm.
You mentioned Carlos Dunlap. Okay, Stockwatch next, and then in the news.
Yes.
But you already knew that, if you listened to us at all.
Which I do.
Ever.
Because I'm here, so I kind of have to listen.
So the Bengals lose to the Browns.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I saw where Mike was upset. Now, Mike's tweets just pop into my timeline more than anyone else's. I don't really know why, but I see everything that Mike tweets.
The algorithm says that,
is that
you
what it is?
Are interested in
I'm a P1
Lynch.
Of Mike.
You are.
P1.
Well, I accept your P1-dom.
And he did you get burned by the extra point?
I had a 4-1 NFL week. It would have been 5-0 if they made the effing extra point.
Yeah, so how many bad beats could someone have been slapped with this weekend? You had the Cleveland scored the game-winning touchdown, and with 10 seconds left, missed the extra point.
Most
or
places,
they would have covered
it
the spread.
It was 3.5.
Yeah, most places it was 3 to 3.5, and that would have taken it to 4.
Tennessee and Pittsburgh, the over-under on that game was 51.5, I think. And they were sitting at 51 because that was the final score, 27-24. Tennessee guy misses the kick. So let's say you had the over in that game, and you had Cleveland. And then you had the Seahawks either on the money line just to win or against the spread. When DK Metcalf took off down the sideline in overtime, you thought, oh my God, Seahawks not only won, they're going to cover.
Yep.
Holding. Let's say you had that. And then let's say you had Atlanta favored by 1. And you're sitting there going, okay, you got the ball. Atlanta had the ball. What was it? First and goal at the 10.
With a minute something
to
go.
1 minute, 10 seconds left.
Just
Detroit
kneel.
Has no timeouts. You're down. I think they were down 2. So all they had to do was kneel,
kick the field
run goal. The clock, call timeout with however many seconds left, and kick the game-winning field goal, shot field goal.
And they even in the huddle, I guess they talked about don't score. Don't score.
And Gurley gets all the way to the line and remembers, but just barely too late. Like it was the most...
I don't know why they ran the ball in the first place. I don't. And by the way, there's some debate. I guess they're saying that in the Detroit huddle, they were saying once he started running, the guys were yelling, let him score. So they let him go. And Gurley got there about the half yard line and was like, whoops. And he tried to lay down and he did.
He was so ashamed though.
Everything stayed out of the end zone except for the ball. Body crossed.
I love that the Lions defenders were like excitedly cheering touchdown when he scored.
He's in.
He got in, touchdown.
It's unbelievable. That's the only part that crossed the goal line was the ball. Had he just shifted it to the other hand, he was fine.
So which, like, dude, seriously, if you had I feel just the poor guy that had those 4 bets.
Yeah.
You just get screwed on every one of them.
Sports, man.
I was on Arizona, so the holding call was a very, very nice bit for me because that game was a roller coaster of, I got this locked up, +4, to then, oh no, it's going to overtime.
Now, to be fair, because people are gonna, that's not a touchdown without the hold. Outside.
It is also a hold.
It was certainly a hold.
I've seen people tweeting that it was a bad call.
No way,
and that, oh, only one of three refs who saw it called a hold.
No.
What?
That was,
he's like pulling his shoulder pads sideways.
Those are called 12s.
And if he, I'm telling you, if
it was clearly a hold.
If he doesn't hold him, the guy makes the tackle.
It was Patrick Peterson.
Yeah. Or pushes him out of bounds. I mean, it might not even be a first down. So, yes, I mean, it was 100% the right call. It's a kick in the giblets when you think that you've won the game and then that. But when Gonzalez missed the kick in regulation, it was in overtime, right? He missed the first one in overtime.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it's over, because when something like that happens, it was like when Miami was playing in the national title game against Ohio State. When you think you've won the game, when you've done everything to win and then that happens, it's so deflating. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way they are going to be able to emotionally ride this thing out. And yet, there they were.
Wilson
threw a pick.
That game was drunk.
It was a really bad pick, that last one, too.
It was. And look, it was poorly played.
All three of his picks bad?
It was poorly played all around. And Kyler Murray had a horrible one, too. Yeah.
Oh, my God. He gave it right back to him.
Yeah, it was bad.
Which is why I said earlier, it's like, I don't know who wanted to lose that game more, the Seahawks or the Cardinals.
Yeah. And yet,
those are two good teams. It's just Seahawks don't make anything easy. And let me bring up something that nobody's talking about, except I did see Jeff Schwartz tweet about it. This drives me insane. Is it too much to ask when you are trying to milk clock and the clock is ticking down?
Yeah.
Why do teams snap the ball before it gets to 1 second?
I don't know.
On the play clock.
I don't know. And sometimes, Seahawks, it's not even three or four. They'll snap it with like ten ticks left.
What are they doing?
I don't know.
Who is coaching this team? Because that happened last night when the Seahawks punted in overtime. Boy, now I see, now I'm going to get the last punt. No, it was regulation. The last punt, the Seahawks were letting the clock wind down because Arizona couldn't stop it. And the guy punts it they snap and punt with 4 seconds left on the play clock.
Yeah.
Well, guess what ended up happening? Arizona needed every bit of those 4 seconds to get in position to kick the game tying field goal at the end of regulation.
Yeah.
If you had snapped that you could argue that if you snap that at 1 second, that Arizona's just going to condense. It's going to condense and they're going to get down into field goal range no matter what. They just know there's less time to do
but
it.
But it happens every week that seemingly over the course of that, over the four downs, it is a common occurrence where a team will give another squad somewhere between 15 to 30 extra seconds over those four downs. And in the NFL, I'm every second counts. I'm with you. It makes no sense.
And that's when Larry Fitzgerald, remember when Fitzgerald
got up and grabbed the ball and brought it in,
that saved him 2 seconds. That was it right there.
Every bit counts.
By the way, Larry Fitzgerald, champion of that.
Yes.
He will go to the play when he's not involved in it just so he can get the ball and sprint it to the middle. It's glorious to watch.
I love him.
Someone said they had a 6-game parlay and the Gurley one cost him $1,500.
Woof.
Oh.
Woof.
Oh.
6-game parlay, fella. And that was the only one that he missed.
Gambling. I feel ya.
And yes, we haven't mentioned it, but DK Metcalf running down Buda Baker.
Wow.
It's as good a play as you'll ever see.
All I could picture was Rich Eisen running behind him. They said DK Metcalf reached 22.6 miles per hour.
Just slightly,
which is faster
than
Daniel Jones.
Just barely, though. Just
when
barely.
He starts sprinting from the 5-yard line, from between 5 and 20, I've never seen anyone cover 15 yards that fast. It was insanity.
Well, when you're that big, too, your strides, it's like a Usain Bolt sort of thing. Yeah. It's just you take these big. Who is Kingsbury said afterwards that he called him a big galloping stallion. He goes, that guy is just a freak.
He is.
And Buda Baker is a fast guy who runs 4.4.
Baker was shocked. What are you doing here?
Did you see Russell Wilson give up and then look as Metcalf just zooms past him?
And then Arizona didn't score.
No.
God.
On 4th-and-3. Saved him 6
Cliff
points.
Kingsbury wanted to lose that game. He had money on the Seahawks.
Nothing that
and
big.
Pete Carroll had money on the Cardinals.
Nothing that big should be that fast. That's why I always say if you could get up close. To some of the athletes, because there's this notion, like in the NFL, right? We all know linemen, linebackers, but like DBs and receivers, if you could see some of these guys and the size and the speed and the athleticism. The one I always talk about was early on when I was in Tampa Bay, we played the 49ers. And I'm just standing on the sidelines in a t-shirt and, you know, and like a shorts, because God knows I'm not playing. And Terrell Owens ran an out route, and he caught the ball. And, you know, and he's running, does a little toe tap thing. And I'm standing there just like watching it, like, oh, and before I know it, there's T.O. like right in front of me. And I had a moment flash before me where I'm like, I'm going to die, because he's just this mammoth being, and the amount of ground he covers, it's just, you're like, and it's terrifying. And that's like DK Metcalf. It's like these, you shouldn't be 6'5", 230 pounds and be that fast. And the ground you can cover is just so alarming when you're up close and personal to see it. And everyone got to see what an absolute freak that was, because that's an unholy play.
All I could think about after that play was thinking, what if he played on defense? Like that guy, okay, because they always talk about these tight ends, you know, like the Kittles, and it started with like Tony Gonzalez's, and
yeah,
these tight ends that are, Gronk, of course, is a great example. Just really, really tough covers because they're too fast for linebackers, but they're too big for DBs. Yep. I think of Metcalf and I go, God, how good would he be on some of these tight ends that are such tough covers?
Well, he's like if you could put him in a mindset of Cam Chancellor.
Yeah.
Right.
He's kind of like that.
Yeah.
You could put him, he's so fast. I mean, he's too big to be a DB.
Yeah.
But you put him in the middle of the field. I feel like DK Metcalf would be awesome on your defense.
He's murdering people. The athleticism, it's just, for me, it'd be more like, I would like to see DK Metcalf with 25, 30 extra pounds and put his hand in the dirt and teach him to be an edge rusher.
Or that.
Right? I mean, he basically, when you're that kind of athlete, it's just a matter of where would you like to play.
So Seahawks need a pass rusher desperately.
Yes.
How about they just sign Antonio Brown? I know he already signed with Tampa.
Yeah.
But they sign Antonio Brown and move DK Metcalf to the two defensive ends and win the Super Bowl.
I know you've never done
greatest
it before,
move ever, Pete
just
Carroll.
Bend the corner and just run up the field. You'll be fine.
Yes. Get to the quarterback.
Yeah. Every now and
Pete
then.
Pete Carroll would become the greatest coach of all time if he made that move and it worked.
It's one of the most athletic plays you'll ever see. And what I immediately thought of is there is a, it was against the Saints, and I don't remember who had the INT, but you remember Larry Brown, right? Or not Larry Brown, excuse me, Larry Allen, Hall of Fame, yeah, offensive of lineman, 330 plus pounds. Larry Allen ran down a New Orleans Saints linebacker or a safety on an INT. Look it up sometime. Look up Larry Allen runs down INT. Same sort of thing. 330-pound lineman ran down a guy on an interception from behind. It's one of the just, there's just some guys that are just built differently than every other player.
The YouTube video is Larry Allen prevents pick six.
Okay.
I'm about to watch it.
Yeah, so is it a DB or is it a linebacker that makes the pick? I forget which one.
Well, hold on. I'm learning about our libraries and how I have to vote.
Oh, I see how it is.
Somebody mentioned DK.
It's a linebacker.
Terrible numbers and change of direction drills at the combine. More of a straight line strength guy.
Yeah.
I understand. I'm just, just talking. But
we understand that. There's a bend to it. And
somebody also mentioned he's what Isaiah Simmons is to the Cards. And boy, I had forgotten about him. I remember when he got drafted, I was like,
very good.
Dude, that guy's going to be amazing. He's a hybrid. He's just, he can do it all. And for Arizona, when he picked off that ball in overtime, I'm like, oh my God, there's Isaiah Simmons. Where the hell has he been?
He hasn't really played much. I guess he's really, he's struggling. He can't.
Nice little pick though.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great pick, but he, I guess he's just one of those guys. Like I follow the rookies. If you go to Pro Football Focus or if you do Next Gen Stat, whatever, you can find plenty of places where they just talk about how the rookies are playing. And he's a guy that really struggled getting on the field, and Arizona's kind of had to walk him along, and they just can't really find a position for him. You know, they're trying to play linebacker and it's not really working. And
see, I would have thought it would have been the opposite.
Yeah.
You can put him anywhere and he'd be good.
Just hasn't. And look, there's room to kind of grow and develop. He reminds me of Brian Urlacher, and I played against Urlacher for 3 years in college, and I would have sworn to God that guy was not going to be good because he kind of played this free roaming safety and this positionless guy. And he just kind of ran around. And I was like, dude, when he has to like handle blockers, he's really going to struggle. And Urlacher did. When they moved him to linebacker, he struggled. But when he figured it out, last time I checked, Brandon looked like it turned out to be pretty good. And so for Isaiah Simmons, it may just be a learning process. and maybe he gets comfortable. Like, he is playing better the last couple weeks and trying to find more of a role, but yeah, he has not made the he hasn't made the impact that everyone thought he'd would at Clemson.
All right, Stockwatch next on The Fan.
It's primetime Stockwatch. What's all the hype? Are Isaac and Soup buying it or calling BS and unloading it fast?
Sounds to me like you guys are a couple of bookies.
Is the hype accurate or a bunch of hot gas? Before you buy or sell, listen close.
It's easy to grin when your ship comes in and you've got the stock market beat. But the man worthwhile is the man who can smile when his shorts aren't too tight in the seat.
Primetime Stockwatch is brought to you by 1-800-DIVORCE. When you need to take stock of your rights, 1-800-DIVORCE is on your side. Call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, in the news is coming up next. I've got hot winter predictions and when demonstrators clash here locally. But, yeah, Stockwatch, fired up?
Yes.
Are you?
I have been fired up today. It's been very, I've been Stephen A. Smithing it today.
Let's see what
I had to yell at you both today for being big jerks.
See what Mike comes up with.
Pretty sure you lost both those arguments against Duke.
What an embarrassing performance. I thought they were supposed to get better because they fired Jason Garrett. Can someone find one thing the Cowboys have done better, more appropriately, like has been better coached based off of this supposed upgrade to Mike McCarthy? I'm embarrassed. It's pathetic. The Cowboys stink, and there's no room for hope right now. Their best player, supposedly, is Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, he did not look like he was a dynamic player here today. The Cowboys just bad on both sides of the ball. Just an embarrassing effort from Dallas. And, you know, they've been talking about this being their year for like four straight seasons right now. And I know they lost their starting quarterback, Dak Prescott. But you know what? The rest of the team, like, you still got to show up and compete. Today was just flatly embarrassing.
Field Yates eviscerating the Dallas
Field
Cowboys
Yates,
there.
The dusty Hera of ESPN.
Very nice guy, too.
Yates is?
Yeah. Huh? He before he went to ESPN.
So is Dusty.
To be like the big wig he is now. He came on the station a couple times as like a Patriots reporter. He was always really nice with his time. Anyway.
Don't you think they look alike, Field Yates
yes,
and Dusty Hera?
Well, they look like an all-American sort of, you know.
They can't grow any facial hair. Yeah,
if apple pie were to somehow transformed into a small boy / man, it would be Field Yates, a.k.a. Dusty.
A small boy man.
Well, neither one of them really looks like a man. They look like if a boy came to life. Mm. And then you just like age progressed him like he was missing on a milk cart.
So, my buy or sell question based on that clip where he demolishes the Cowboys is they should fire Mike McCarthy before the end of his first season.
Whoa!
In Dallas.
Whoa! Well, he's not wrong about... do we owe an apology to Jason Garrett, by the way?
I think maybe a little bit.
Maybe a small apology. I thought Jason Garrett always sucked. But I may need to openly apologize to Jason Garrett right now. I also thought Mike McCarthy would be a pretty nice little hire for Dallas.
Okay, now...
what a mess they are, but I will sell that they should fire him. I think he should be given time.
Can you get Lincoln Riley? Is if so, then fire him. Or, but you don't make a move just to make a move. Now, I will defend Mike McCarthy this much. Just a scooch. What Mike McCarthy needs to do is fire Mike Nolan tomorrow. Mike Nolan is a bad defensive coordinator, plain and simple. When he took over the Falcons, they were the third-ranked defense. 3 years later, when he got fired, they were, I think, the 29th-ranked defense. He hasn't been a defensive coordinator in a number of years, and their defense is an abomination, and it shouldn't be this bad. So that if you want to put blame on one thing more than anything else, I put it there. You can also put blame on Jerry Jones for getting CeeDee Lamb. Why? Why did you draft CeeDee Lamb? Why? Because you're enamored with a guy that you can put 88 on?
He is really good.
You don't need another. Well, he had zero catches, so yeah, he's fantastic.
Well, you don't have a quarterback.
You don't need another effing receiver.
He's been really good up until last week.
What you need is a DB. This is my point. You already spent money on Amari Cooper. You already have you have Michael Gallup. You have Ezekiel Elliott. Stop.
Well, now you have CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper.
Great. You can't stop a nosebleed. And then the other thing that I'll defend him is before the offensive lineman went down and before Dak Prescott got hurt, it was one of the top three offenses in the NFL. But you find me any team in football, any team that loses not one, not two, not three, not four, five
wow.
starting offensive linemen, and your franchise quarterback.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And tell me, are you supposed to be any good? What is happening right now with Mike McCarthy going forward is not his fault. That is a product of a horrific, embarrassingly bad historic defense and 6 injuries that are impossible for anyone to overcome.
But don't you think he should have them together and not, like, they look like they quit. Like, it feels like it's a mutiny there.
I would like to point out, not only are you dealing with 6, because the backup left tackle is out for the year as well. So you now have 6 backup offensive linemen. This is why I've always said, if I was on the Dallas Cowboys back when I was with the Broncos and the Buccaneers, I would be playing right now. And I can assure you that you cannot win games with me as your starting center.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's really that it just kind of seems to be chaotic.
Yes.
Right? It's like, everything you said is right. I agree with you. And McCarthy should be given time. But at the same time, boy, it doesn't feel like the players really respect him.
No.
Or their coaches. And that's a major problem. You can't overcome that.
No.
No matter how healthy they are, if they're not going to play for you.
And now you're getting guys that, again, are leaking stuff to the media.
That's right. It's and that's the bad part.
The dumpster fire has begun, and not only has it begun, but the dumpster is now rolling downhill, and you could make an argument that, no, it's still the Jets. I was going to say, you could make an argument that they're the worst team in football, but it's
I want to see Cowboys-Jets tomorrow.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you
with
don't. No.
Who's the guy? DiNucci?
Ben DiNucci.
Versus Sam Darnold. You don't want to see that.
No. I want Darnold out of there. He's too good. I want Flacco. DiNucci.
I'll stop you right there. Sam Darnold is not better than that. He's bad.
Well, in my opinion, I'd like to see DiNucci and Flacco. And I think that the Jets would win that.
I don't know. I don't know who wins that game.
The Cowboys can't stop anybody.
No. Yeah, the Jets,
and the Jets can't score.
The Jets can stop themselves.
Hey, Jets slowed down those Bills.
Yes. Yes, they did.
Lots of field goals.
Yeah, we were frustrated. We had like 4-3 now. I mean, that was, about as bad as you can start. But one thing I was proud of is how we didn't, fold or send it in right there. Kept fighting, kept working. Defense kept battling their tail off to keep us in it. And, managed to find somewhat of a groove. And then, obviously couldn't find it late.
This show's favorite quarterback, Gardner Minshew, after the Jags lost to the Chargers yesterday. Minshew, apparently, according to some reports, was being talked about being benched in favor of likely Mike Glennon, which would make us lose the backup quarterback game, by the way.
It is Mike Glennon.
It is Mike Glennon.
We've already determined
it.
Your 2 days you were out last week,
determined
it was official.
Yeah. Gotcha.
What's his nuts? Doug Marrone said it.
Yeah, said that if Minshew isn't, if he can't play better, it's Mike Glennon. They'll go to Mike Glennon.
They have a bye next week. Buy or sell.
Who, the Jags do?
Yes. Buy or sell in 2 weeks. Gardner Minshew still has his job as quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Gardner Minshew? No, I'd sell that. They suck.
I thought he played well enough.
He played well in the second, third, and fourth quarter yesterday.
He's all right, but they suck.
He will, if you're going to give me, he will not be the starting quarterback in 3 weeks.
That's what you said, right?
After
the bye. So they got a bye, and then they play the Texans, the Packers, and Steelers. He will not make it through that stretch. Yeah. He will be benched, and his career as a starting quarterback will be over in the NFL. No later than November 22nd when he plays the Steelers and they get it rammed real bad.
It's so weird. Whoa. Because if you look at his stats, he's really not that bad. Watch him play, he throws ducks constantly.
Well, he's running for his life, and
he's not great. Look, we joke about Minshew.
Well, we like him because he's wazoo and he's great personality, and he's the greatest quarterback the NFL's ever seen.
Doug Marrone, see, these coaches, they got to save their own asses. Right?
Yes.
Like, Marrone's going to put him on the bench because they're one in whatever. That's why Marrone knows he's about to get fired, so you might as well try everything you can. I mean, Mike Glennon's not going to be any better, but, try it.
At this point, if you're Jacksonville,
they suck. By the way, that game, that was scary because I had them in my survivor pool.
Mm-hmm. Had the Chargers?
I had the Chargers because I had already used, everybody was on Buffalo. So that game was freaking scary because the Jag, they were down 16-0.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it was a game.
Well, it wasn't a game. They were winning.
Yeah.
And the Chargers looked terrible. And it's like, oh my God, they're going to effing blow this to the Jags. The Jags had all the momentum. And then they remembered that they were the Jags. Like, they are really, really, really bad. Justin Herbert was sensational yet again.
I had the Chargers laying 7.5. You don't think I was sweating bullets? The one time I finally come around, I'm like, I'm betting on Justin Herbert. He looks that good. And then I'm like, you're going to lose to the freaking Jags? No. straight cover, baby. Love it.
I don't know what the hell I do when I'm talking to my quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? I may praise them, you know, when we have one-on-ones or whatever, but after games and press conferences, no, I haven't praised anybody in the last 4 weeks because we haven't won. I haven't praised myself. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it is. It's never good enough. But, yeah, we won. He got his first victory today, and I'm so happy for him that he got his first win. But we needed that win as a team. I'm happy for the team right now. He was a major contributor today in us getting that done. He stood in there when he knew he was going to be hit, and he delivered the ball in some critical situations. He took off. He created with his feet when things wasn't happening in the air, and he extended drives that way. And, you know, he showed that you know, he has that versatility to hurt you with his legs and with his arm.
Anthony Lynn for the first time publicly praising his rookie quarterback, Justin Herbert. Buy or sell, Lynn's tough love approach with Herbert is good for Herbert's development.
Absolutely. You get nothing out of just slobbering over a guy, right? And as good as Herbert has been, and he has been a revelation. I could not have seen this. If you go back and watch 4 years of him at Oregon, you are looking at a different player with the Chargers. He looks free. He's letting the ball go. He's moving around in the pocket. He's going through progressions.
His throws are so good. He's raindrop spirals.
He's killing it. But look, he still makes plays every week. You're like, ooh. Yeah. I mean, that can be a killer. And he's made plays that have ended up costing them wins. So, yes, I think with a rookie, there's a fine line between, you know, tough love and being an a-hole and having him not be your guy and just overly praising him. And I think there is there's some benefit to having a little bit of that tough love. But my goodness, yes, you have to acknowledge that Justin Herbert has been he's the number one quarterback on third down in the NFL right now. He's playing great under pressure. All the metrics, the guy's playing like a 10-year vet. He's killing it. I think eventually he'll probably come back down to earth a little bit. There'll be bumps in the road. There is with every quarterback, but dude, he's slinging it right now.
It's never happening. He's never going to have a bump in the road.
Never.
He also had a nice scramble rush touchdown.
Yeah.
He can you know, scramble around with his legs a little bit. He's awesome. 12 touchdowns, 3 picks, and 5 starts now. They are 1-4. They've had a tough schedule. But he has a quarterback rating of 108. Yeah. Come on.
Look, he's killing it.
Greatness, Hall of Fame. Give him the yellow jacket right now. Isn't that what it is? Yellow?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, gold.
Well, it's gold.
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 I don't know what you got. It's...
You just give it to him.
Yeah, give him whatever.
Enshrine him now.
What's your thought on the stock, though?
Wait, no, I bought it. Yeah. I like the way Lynn's all right. I like Anthony Lynn, even though he is probably going to be fired by the Chargers. I think he should get another shot.
Yeah.
First and third, nobody out, trying to protect a one-run lead. He made great pitches in that inning to get the two out. And then Manny Margot knew, well, at this point, we might not get a hit off of this guy, so he tried to steal home. No one's really tried a straight steal of home like that with no other conditions since 1982. And for Kershaw to recognize that this guy is going home and step off the rubber perfectly and make a pretty good throw to the plate just shows you a veteran pitcher who doesn't panic in a situation like that. That game turned when Kershaw got out of the fourth inning without allowing a run.
There's Tim Kirkchen right there talking about Manuel Margot's attempted steal of home in game 5 yesterday, fourth inning. Almost got there. There's actually some controversy about the tag because it hit his helmet while it was touching his body as it fell off his head. But Margot's hand had gotten in there, technically didn't touch the body. You can argue that. Buy or sell, Cash having Margot steal home was the right call at the time.
Sure, I love being aggressive. Mm. Now, look, you as you said, it's not like you've been necessarily coming up with clutch hits the entire time.
Who was at the plate?
I do not remember. Probably someone hitting 190.
I think it was Wendell.
It was Wendell. Wendell's hitting like 146. So
I'm going to look it up.
And I think they
all are. 146 is good for the Rays.
And they were saying that if there was a crowd and that thing, that it may not have happened because a bunch of the Dodgers started yelling, home.
Yeah, Muncy told him.
So if you've got a crowd going nuts in that moment, maybe it does work. And it couldn't have been any closer. And that's the thing. It's why I always hate the hindsight being 2020.
It was Kiermaier.
That thing was as close as you could be. And I thought he got it with the little swim move hook thing that he had there. Yeah, if that goes, then we're calling Kevin Cash a genius. It was a quarter inch in the other way, and now it's the wrong move. Nah, I love the aggressive. I love the aggressive play.
Agree, 100 P.
Yeah,
that's it. Is that it?
That's it. That's four.
That's we only do four.
That's your weekly four. Yeah, sometimes we do three.
Man, a lot of hot sports this weekend. Did you know that?
There was a lot of hot.
You know what? I looked at the clock and said, "Eh."
Yeah, we got to go.
You guys haven't been on it
once again. Falling behind on a Monday. The Stock Watch is brought to you by Goldberg Jones when it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues. Trust Goldberg Jones to help. 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. Hot winter predictions on In the News next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Zook on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we got to get going. Hot 5 coming up in 15 minutes. Our college football weekend reach around. A Monday staple. More NFL talk. But right now it is October 26, 2020. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Do you know what mincemeat is? You know that whole saying?
Yeah.
Like, make mincemeat. What is mincemeat?
I don't know for certain. I always assumed that mincemeat was a bunch of like garbage meat that was just chopped up really fine, right?
Yeah. That was also my assumption.
Yeah.
So
it's National Mincemeat Day.
Okay.
So. Are we wrong?
Yeah, well, it says mincemeat is a mixture of chopped dried fruit, distilled spirits and spices, and sometimes beef or venison. So I think you kind of are wrong.
Only sometimes beef or venison?
Yeah.
So it could just be fruit and spices.
Well, just on Wikipedia, it says that it may refer to ground meat, ground beef, or... or then it goes into the mixture of dried fruit, spices.
This says originally mincemeat always contained meat, but many modern recipes, it's not always the case. So it's not even meat.
Interesting.
Weird. Also, it is Texas Chicken Fried Steak Day. Mincemeat Day.
Who doesn't love a good chicken fried steak?
Can they not get their own days?
Well, why is Texas Chicken Fried Steak different than Alabama Chicken Fried Steak?
I had the same question in my head.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe that's where it was invented, so that's why it's called that.
Okay.
It would be a pretty Texas thing to be the inventor of chicken fried steak.
Yeah. I mean, chicken fried steak is chicken fried chicken. It's all delicious. You throw breakfast, get the country gravy on there. It's great.
Mm. Well, but what is Texas? Is that just means it's bigger?
I don't know. I will say that sometimes you order a chicken fried steak and it is a bit much. Like you look down at it and you're just like, what? It was like a gallon of mashed potato or a gallon of that gravy on top of it and then the hash browns. You ever look around and see the people at a diner? It's...
What do you mean?
Well, it's just...
I feel like you're judging my breakfast choices, dude.
Look, I love chicken fried steak.
It's delightful.
And breakfast is great in
general. What if I went into a diner and the UP women's soccer team was in there?
Yeah. Let's just say that a lot of times if you go into a diner...
Well, he said, do you ever look at the people in the diner? Well, if I go to Denny's... Is that diner? And the UP soccer team is in there.
It's a diner in quotations.
Like, oh, wow, everybody's really fit. I should eat here more often.
It's usually not the case. There's some diabetes. There's a walker involved.
I don't like your disparaging of diners here, sir.
There's some overalls.
I'm from the diner capital of the world, and I take this very seriously.
Look,
Jersey's the diner cap. What?
The diner's go. Who loves you, baby? Hey.
Yes.
New Jersey is the diner capital of the world?
Yes. There are diners.
Is that verifiable?
Everywhere.
Is that like me saying I make the best Bloody Mary on earth?
I think there's a little bit of that.
I think it's, you'd probably find that's true most places.
Diners are great. Shout out, the two that I like, Valerie's and Carol's Corner in Vancouver, are both amazing diners. But look, can we all agree that diners, hygienically, probably not the best?
Well, you don't go there for the hygiene.
And when you... And
you
when
go there for the gigantic menu and the affordable prices.
And when you walk in, you realize that you are going to, for like $12, you're going to eat more food than you should ever consume in one day. And you are going to walk out feeling ashamed and awful about yourself.
Did
but
you
damn
think
it, it's
the
good.
Cheesecake Factory menu is big? Go to a diner. It's bigger.
Mike, verifiable. They say it's the... Well, calling it the diner capital is a little bit of a stretch, but it does have the most diners in the world.
Mm. Yep.
In the world.
Of
Huge
Earth planet.
Diners.
So
the tiny little state of New Jersey.
Beautiful big diners.
Because it has the most, probably the best ever, probably. Because it has the most, they say it's the capital, the diner capital of the world.
My diner growing up was Louis' Charcoal Pit.
See?
I loved their, they had a great tuna melt. And they had a great split pea soup, and I loved them both.
Overrated. That's what it says.
Well, it's closed, so I don't think it can be overrated anymore.
That's why it closed. It was overrated.
We had the same waiter every time he went. His name was Mike. He knew our order every time he went. It was great. Little neighborhood spot.
The one I, Carol's Corner. I do not believe that anyone has ever finished a breakfast from Carol's Corner. I don't think it's possible. You just can't. Like, they bring you the food, and you just sit there and stare at it, and you're like, what? Why did we all order something?
Well, I haven't gotten to any stories. So I'll give you some quick stories.
Yeah, hot diner talk.
339 new COVIDs, 2 more COVID deads in Oregon today.
I did see that 11 states over the weekend, 11 broke records for hospitalizations.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a surgeon.
Yeah, so.
Out there.
You know, that's like, because, you know, the cases, you know, it's, but when you, you know, we're getting people that are loading up hospitals, and that's a little scary.
I don't know if winter predictions have always been a thing, but now, you know, that you have, you're no one unless you don't, unless you have your meteorologist.
Yeah.
Unless you don't have your meteorologist out there, like, saying, here's what's going to happen all winter.
Sure. As if they know, but all right.
Well, they, I guess they kind of do.
Do they?
Well, here's a stunner. Forecasters in the Northwest call for cold in the winter.
Oh, man. I was hoping for the non-cold winter.
So after a few winters that were warmer and drier than average, we now get cold, wet, wind, floods, snow, and Armageddon.
Yeah.
The 28th annual, so I guess it is an annual thing. The 28th annual Winter Weather Forecast Conference saw 5 meteorologists agree that we are in a La Nina period.
As opposed to El Nino.
Yes. And what this means is, so they do kind of know because they can see this way out in the ocean. They're like, oh, it's La Nina. And therefore, that means XYZ. Now, it's not, they're not all the same, but generally speaking, it's the cooling of the surface water in the central and or eastern equatorial Pacific.
Who didn't know that?
And the warming of the surface water in the western equatorial Pacific.
Yeah, the equatorial. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
If I'm pronouncing that correctly, which I'm probably not. This causes changes in the surface and upper wind patterns that drive air masses across the globe. So everybody's weather changes when you get La Niña.
Yeah, which is Spanish for the Niña.
So.
What is that from again?
I don't know.
I know that quote, but it's.
That's when someone just said it on the text line for, you know, the.
Spanish for the Niño.
Yeah, it's. Anytime someone brings that up, I always think about
that. What is
that
from? My God.
So get out your coats, skis, and that bourbon. And if you're going to Mount Hood Meadows this winter, you will need your lift tickets or your passes in hand before you head up. So they have a new COVID system there.
Oh, so you can't buy them when you're there?
No, they want to spread out people's arrival. So you'll have to buy tickets online and plan ahead for your rentals. Everything requires advanced purchases. And daily lift tickets will have 1 of 4 times on them, 9 a.m., noon, 2 p.m., or the twilight, 5 p.m. Okay? So make sure you know
what
that.
About the bar? Can I?
Before you get. I imagine it's always open.
Do I have to have a.
Although maybe it's not.
Yeah, you can't sit at bars anymore. God, I
But you can sit
it's,
at tables.
SNL, by the way. It was Chris Farley.
Chris Farley did that?
Yeah.
All right. To the late, great Chris Farley.
So you can't congregate at a bar, but you can sit at a bar table. With
someone
from your
family. Can we get back to bars where I don't mind if there's a space or two in between, but I miss.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I miss the bar.
Did you just say hospitalizations are up in 11 states?
Only in 11? Only in 11 are they setting records?
All right. Well, we're not going to have time for anything else. So I'll give you, when we come back, I'll give you a quick Murder Hornet update.
Ooh. Did you see the suit that guy was wearing when
he
went
I
in?
Did.
They weren't
all of those guys.
They weren't screwing around.
That's next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, only time for one final story on in the news, and that is the Murder Hornet update, because the Northwest is the epicenter of the Murder Hornet debacle.
Yes.
If you haven't seen those, Google them. The Asian giant hornets. Well, anyway, we told you Friday they found the first murder hornet nest in the United States.
Yeah. By the way, I'm starting the conspiracy theory that it was because it was in Blaine, which is right on the Canadian border.
Yeah.
I think Canada just threw the nest over into our neck of the woods.
Wouldn't you?
They said, "Hey, thanks for the COVID," and then someone hucked it over the fence.
So scientists have gone in and removed those murder hornets. You know, that was a big old nest there that they finally found after searching for it, because they actually were able to dog tag one of the hornets.
Yeah.
And he alerted them to the nest.
It's a hell
That's
of a,
how they found
it. It's a hell of a thing. I mean, they went in there with straight, like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Dude, it's like 10 feet up in a tree.
Yeah.
So they did this on Saturday, began about 5:30 a.m., the team donning protective suits and setting up scaffolding around the tree so that they could reach the opening of the nest. The team stuffed dense foam padding into a crevasse above and below the nest entrance and wrapped the tree with cellophane, leaving just a single opening. This is where the team inserted a vacuum hose to remove the hornets from the nest. Team members used a wooden board to whack the tree to encourage hornets to leave. When the hornets stopped coming out of the nest, the team pumped carbon dioxide into the tree to kill or anesthetize any remaining hornets. They then sealed the tree with spray foam, wrapping it again with cellophane, and finally placed traps nearby to catch any potential survivors or hornets who may have been away during the operation and returned to the tree.
Boy, they went in with extreme prejudice. I mean, they just, poor bastards.
You think those hornets that were out drinking at the bar came back and they were like, oh.
Like, what's happening?
Perfect.
I would like to
believe. We survived.
I'd like to believe that they left us a little kind of warning, because, you know, I battle the wasps. They take up residence in my murder shack. And when I eradicate the nest, I like to leave one or two dead bodies there just to kind of send a message. Or just the remnants of the nest up there covered in the goo.
So Barry and Dale clumsily fly back from the bar.
All hopped up on pollen.
And Barry tells Dale, he's like, God, that queen was a bitch anyway. Finally, let's go start our own colony, Dale.
So you can if it's Dale. You need a female.
Well, we'll find a queen.
We'll find someone else. I'd like to think this is only going to piss off the other, like, word's going to spread, and the other hornets are like, oh, really?
You think it's reached Asia yet?
Yeah, this is what we're doing? Send in reinforcements. Wait till Canada sends another one over the border.
Wouldn't that be funny if they sent, like, a carrier pigeon over there? Like, wait, you can fly? Why can't you? You should fly and tell us.
Yeah, they got tiny wings.
They pay for a carrier pigeon?
Take an Uber ride out there? I just think it's, you know, it's... How big, like, we always hear this, like, over the last handful of years, right? It's the killer bees of Mexico and the hornets. I wonder, like, is this really a thing? Like, can we?
Yeah,
really
they didn't want them to,
take hold and spread.
Yeah, and become a thing in the Northwest. Yeah. You don't want that.
No, but, like, is that
your
really?
Your dog doesn't want that.
Is that really?
Yeah.
Can that take someone down?
Yeah, they're called murder hornets, man.
Yeah, it's a hornet.
Well, anyway, they caught 98 of them. I think 83 of them or 85 of them were sucked in by the vacuum.
Yeah.
And then the other 13 were captured live in a net.
Hmm. Well, screw you. You're dead now. That's what you get
so
for
that's
coming
it.
Over here.
That's
How
it
did
for
they get
in,
here
the news?
In the first place.
They flew probably.
It seems like
the back of the carrier pigeon.
Seems like a long way. Catch a ride.
That's it for in the news. October 26, 2020. We got to go. The Hot 5 at 5 coming up next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.